Hey, everybody, Basement Sports Podcast. It is time for NFL Draft Notes via Basement Sports Podcast. However, doing our due diligence, my co-pilot here, Duty, has let us know that with last week's fantasy baseball draft special for fantasy baseball, something was missed. So
we ran out of time before we finished third base. We didn't get any third base.
So we didn't get to third base.
We got to second base. Just like my high school career.
We got it. So this is the NFL draft special. However, there's a short caveat here. I'm going to hand things over to Duty.
I am going to take you through third base.
He's going to go through third base. I'm going to step away for a few minutes and take care of what needs to be taken care of,
which is getting us beverages.
Exactly. Let him take care of that. And then we're going to go right into talking about the NFL draft. So, Duty, take it away.
All right. Thanks, everybody. What's up, my bitches? My call sign. Like Greg said, we did the fantasy baseball special last week. We had three guests on, and we went over who we all thought the consensus players at each position were. And as we were going through the week, I went back and listened to the podcast to see how it sounded, because we did a new format last year. And if those of you that listened to it can tell that the guests were very loud, and Greg and I were somewhat softer when you listen to the recording, it's because we did those three through Zoom, and we could not figure out how to turn the Zoom down in association with our podcast board, our machine here that does the podcast. So going forward, we're going to change that, and we're either going to do a FaceTime or they're just do a call into the show. I think Craig had mentioned on air last week that we are getting a new board shortly. We're going to have a YouTube channel so you can watch the program once a week. And we are doing some live shows coming up that we will let you know in the Pittsburgh area. So having said that, let's go back very quickly and go over the position of third base for you fantasy gurus. You probably already got your draft in since the season already started. But just in case, like I said, to finish it up, in my league, my league is a little different. We have eight nerds all over the age of 50, and we penalize for strikeouts. Some fantasy leagues do not. But having said that, it doesn't really matter with these first couple guys I'm going to tell you. So probably the consensus for everybody in my league, the very first third baseman chosen every year is Jose Ramirez of Cleveland. All he does is walk about more than he strikes out. He did end up somehow, that pudgy little bastard, hit .282 with 24 home runs and 28 stolen bases last year. He is 31 now. He also declined in home runs from 29 to 24, but he increased his stolen bases from 20 to 28. So take that as it is. But you cannot go wrong with Jose Ramirez. He's always at the top of all fantasy stats. He should be the number one third baseman off the board in every league. Two and three, you can put probably in another order, but if they do not take away strikeouts, you got to go with Austin Riley of the Braves. All this guy does is hit close to 40 bombs every year. He does not steal bases. I think he had three last year. And he's going to hit .270 to .280, but he walks a ton. He also strikes out. But in that Braves lineup, that guy is going to have 100 RBIs just about every year with 40 bombs. And again, because of his strikeouts and some leagues taking that against him, that's why he's behind Jose Ramirez. A sleeper that my league all loves, and the guy's name is Rafael Devers from Boston. My league loves this guy, and why not? I mean, he had 33 home runs last year. He hit .270. He only had five stolen bases, but he's a guy that plays every day, and he plays in Boston, so it's not that huge. I know he's left-handed, but he doesn't have the wall, but it's Boston. It's a bandbox. He's going to get out there. Now, here's where my people in my league may differ. I am a huge Alex Bregman fan, even though he's 30. He had 25 home runs last year, and he only hit .262. But what I like about this guy is he actually walks more than he strikes out. He always hits the ball. He plays every day, A, because of his defense, but B, another guy in the lineup that you can count on more times than not to get you some fantasy points. He will not hurt you at third base if you miss out on the other three. Some guys that were good in previous years that have really, really tailed off. You're looking at Nolan Arenado, the Cardinals, and Manny Machado, San Diego. Both of those guys have tailed off recently. I don't know. Nolan Arenado's 33 now, and Manny Machado just turned 31. Manny could still get you some home runs. He hit 30 last year, and Nolan Arenado hit 26, but they're just not the guys that they were 5 years ago. If you're looking for some young dude, check out Royce Lewis of Minnesota. This kid last year, he only had 217 at-bats at the pro level, and he had 15 dingers, 6 stolen bases, and this kid's electric. He's fast as shit. He will get you some points with some stolen bases, and he's a really, really, really up-and-coming player. And then if you miss out on those, a sleeper that I like, that I like him more than most, is Jake Berger from Miami, who in his first full year with Miami hit 34 home runs last year. The guy's just a professional hitter. He's only 28. He's coming into his big year. And another 26-year-old dude, if you really need to wait on third baseman, Josh Jung. However, I will tell you that he broke a bone. He's on the DL for a while. So, but I said most of you people already drafted anyway, so it's not going to matter. For those of you thinking or asking questions about Cabron Hayes of Pittsburgh, his power has disappeared. He hit 15 last year, but a story that I don't know if they know outside of Pittsburgh was after another subpar first half, he actually went down and talked to his old hitting coach in AA, and he had a really good second half. He changed his hand position a little bit. He showed some power, and then in spring training, he continued this trend, and he was good in spring training as well. He's off to a good start, so don't be afraid of grabbing him, at least with the thought that you may have to replace him if it doesn't work out, but keep him on your radar. So that's it for third base. Again, put your comments if you're anywhere we see our post. We'll go over that at the end, but I want you to just know that we apologize. We didn't have time for third base. We kind of forgot about it with our guest and them having to get going. So that's the end of that. So having said that, we're going to turn our attention now to the every year we do an NFL draft. I'm a draft nerd. I have been since I was 12 years old. I'm the guy that watches every pick and has a pen and paper and crosses them off my list, rates the draft by team. Blah,
he's
blah,
as
blah.
Old as Mel Kiper.
Yeah, I wish. I'm probably right more than Mel Kiper is in the last 10 years. But I really enjoy this football draft, and I like looking at prospects and seeing how they translate to the NFL. So what we usually do is go position by position and give you a couple people that I think are going to be up there. Sometimes I agree with the experts. A lot of times I don't. Let me take a drink of my scotch, please.
That's actually very good. Mm. That's quite smooth. I like that very much.
Wow, I think it was only $30.
That's a nice price point for that.
And we can't tell you who it is because they're not a sponsor, so we're not giving them free advertising.
No, we'll send them a letter.
Yeah, that's very good.
So anyway, so where do you want to start? You want to start on the offensive side of the football, defensive side of the football?
Let's just start with the obvious quarterbacks.
Okay, let's go with it.
Because I got a couple comments, and I don't think this is a mystery. Let me get my notes out here when I have all these papers in my hand because I'm still old school when I write stuff down as I'm watching a couple films. And I think everybody out there knows who the top quarterbacks are this year, but let's go over them quickly. This won't take long. The consensus number one pick, and they've almost pretty much mailed it in, is Caleb Williams out of Southern Cal. And here's my comment about Caleb Williams. This guy's agent is his father. And his father has already come out and asked other people in the NFL, the higher-ups, if they could somehow get away from the players' union, you know, the collective bargaining agreement football, to make some rules about how people are paid when they're first drafted. So this guy's already a pain in the ass. And I'm going to tell you what, this Caleb Williams did not have a good second half of the year last year. Having said that, he's as close as Patrick Mahomes as you're going to get in terms of throwing on the run, extending a play, He's very fast. He does have a good arm, but he really made some bad decisions trying to do too much in the second half last year when Southern Cal was losing some games they shouldn't. But I would say he's probably right with Jaden Daniels of LSU as a 1 and 2 prospect.
Okay. Okay.
I like Jaden Daniels is very young, 6'3". He's very slender, but he has an absolute rifle attached to his shoulder. He made some good decisions, and he got better as LSU went on. So I think what you're going to find, and I was surprised that he had a really good offensive line. When I started looking at offensive line prospects, the LSU guys kept popping up, center, guard, and tackles. But I like Jaden Daniels as my second best
quarterback. As your second best quarterback? Okay. Yep. Or you got Drake May.
Probably third.
Third, okay.
And here's when we're going to get into an argument. Drake May is an NFL body. He's 6'5", 220 pounds. Mm-hmm. He can see over the line. Does have a cannon, but he just didn't win enough at North Carolina. Now, you can say what he have around him. Well, I don't know. Kenny Pickett won in Pittsburgh, and he turned out to be a shitty quarterback, as I predicted.
Yeah, but I think he had more talent around him than Drake May did.
He probably did.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, like, Jordan Addison at wide receiver. He had a top-notch offensive line. Playing in front of him, you know, 1,000-yard running back. You know,
Pickett had better stats than Drake May.
Yeah, he had better stats, but I think he had better supporting cast around him than Drake May.
Maybe. And I don't know what Drake May – that North Carolina offense was run by some older coaches.
Yeah.
Kind of an NFL formation where they faked a handoff, maybe some play-action passes.
Right.
Two receivers, and they didn't spread it four wide all the time. So I don't know what you're getting out of Drake May, except he's a big kid with a big arm. He doesn't make a lot of bad mistakes. He just doesn't – he can make all the throws. You just didn't see the highlights out of him this year.
You're looking at Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I've seen on different draft boards, yep, like 2A and 2B. Like, they're back and forth. Like, for example –
depends on the GM.
Yeah, well, Pro Football Focus, they've got Drake May as 2 and Daniels is 3, but it's close. When you look at their their grade, they actually have a better grade. This is Pro Football Focus, so I want to give them their due. Their season grade for last year for Drake May was 90.8. Jaden Daniels was 94.7. So you're like, well, why isn't Jaden Daniels higher?
Well, because it's Pro Football Focus.
It's Pro Football Focus, yeah. But also, too, they looked at Drake May took over 200 more snaps than Jaden Daniels. So I think, again,
that kind of tries to even it out.
2A
but
and
then
2B.
Again, let me remind everybody that Pro Football Focus still thinks that Watt for Pittsburgh should not have won the defensive
he
player
was,
of the
he
year
was,
last
he,
year.
In their voting, he was fifth.
So take it for what it's worth.
Yeah.
They're like a Stratomatic baseball. They put stats on every play.
Right.
Take it for what it's worth. They usually don't miss on guys if they say they're a really good year. Well, they might have had a pretty good year. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But how you can have J.J. Watt, T.J. Watt, all the whoever the hell Watts are,
right,
initials, her parents ought to be slapped, but... I don't put a lot of credence
except for
in what
Derek.
Say.
The third one was just
Derek's
Derek.
A millionaire.
He could have been a D.
He's probably a D something. We don't know what his middle name is.
DJ.
DJ.
Yeah. yeah. So we got Drake May, then Jaden Daniels. Anything more you want to say about Jaden Daniels?
Not really. Other than they're all first rounders. Those three
high first round picks.
I would say top 10.
Okay.
By far. I don't. I'm not so sure. I think Washington's taking a quarterback at 2, and Chicago's definitely taking one.
All right.
My thing here at quarterback, and I don't know, there's Michael Penix of Washington, Bo Nix out of Oregon, and Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina.
Well, let's look at like our next 3 to 4. Okay,
those three, but here's my caveat.
All right.
All these experts, these Pro Football Focus, everybody loves J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan.
Yeah.
They're saying he could go as high as 2 or 4. How do you can you say that about a guy that throws 12 passes a game for Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah.
I mean, he was okay, but I'm going to tell you, when I saw him play against Ohio State, he missed a lot of throws on crossing patterns.
Yep.
And he throws 12 passes a game because they ran the ball the whole second half against Penn State.
Right.
So how these guys can look at that tape with that few of attempts and say he's up there with May and Daniels. I don't get it. Or even Penix.
Yeah. I mean, Penix, you know, I look at the size of Penix, 6'3", 213. You know, he's another tall.
Yeah, McCarthy only weighs 190, though.
Yeah, and then you got
McCarthy's fast. He's mobile, but so's Penix. Where
would you take Bo Nix?
I like Bo Nix. I think he's a second rounder. First rounder.
Hey, okay.
Bo Nix reminds me of Kenny Pickett, wherein he came out of nowhere for a big last year,
mm-hmm.
right? Bo Nix played for Auburn, and I remember saying to my nephew, we were watching him when Penn State beat him, first game of the year.
Was it the one at Happy Valley, the one in Auburn?
Auburn.
The one in Auburn. All right.
But I said, I'm worried about this Bo Nix was horrible.
Yeah.
And I said, what is this, all the hype on this Bo Nix kid? Well, he was bad all year for Auburn. He transfers to Oregon, gets in a new system, and all of a sudden he's lighting
it up.
I mean,
yeah.
he really made some nice throws. Big kid, another strong. He's a tough kid.
Yeah. 6'2", 217.
He absolutely. And he's just I don't know what to tell you. He's an NFL quarterback,
mm-hmm.
especially if some of the quarterbacks start under center now. Bo Nix should be starting for someone. I don't know if anyone's going to trade back up for him, but he's a second rounder, I would say.
He was, so last year for him, he was 467 attempts, 361 completions.
Yeah, it's not bad, huh?
77% completion percentage, 4,454 yards, 9.5 yards per attempt, 45 touchdowns, and 3 picks.
There you have it.
Yeah.
And one of the part of the reasons about that is if you watch the Oregon play in the national title tournament, mm-hmm. I like to call it, they do a lot of underneath crossing routes
because
they have all those receivers that are so fast.
Yeah.
And he either throws it, leads them too much, or he throws them on the money and they adjust or whatever. But he wasn't throwing across the middle and zone.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not what Oregon does.
So that's 467 passes. Okay, he threw 467. You're talking about J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, go ahead.
333.
Yeah, so it's not even close.
So 130 more passes.
In 12 games.
In 12 games, yeah.
But and that's just what. And they won the national title.
They won, but they could run the ball.
They sure
could. They were unbelievable at running the football.
Yeah, and I get it. When you look, Michigan has like 5 guards that are all going to end up going to the NFL.
Right.
That they rotated in and out.
Right.
But I'm not sold on J.J. McCarthy, not because of the player, just because of the amount of reps. I hate guys. I just lost his name. Kid that played in the Rose Bowl against Penn State. Come out after his freshman year. He's a number one draft pick.
Oh, God.
I think they just got signed to a new team this year. I'll think of it here in the middle in a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, I said it was a bust. It was a bad pick. He didn't have enough.
He had a great Rose Bowl. That's what got him drafted.
He absolutely did. a couple other sleepers that I like, if you're just looking at the quarterback position, that are going to go after round 2. Joe Milton out of Tennessee. I don't know what it is about him, except every time you watch him throw a pass, it's right on the money. I loved where he throws the ball. He's 6'3", 227. He hasn't had a lot of attempts as well, like for a whole career, but he looks like an NFL player when you watch him. And I know Spencer Rattler has gotten a bad rap lately. 2 years ago, he was like supposed to be the number one quarterback coming out this year, and then things didn't go well for him. He's only 6'1", but he has an NFL arm as well. I just think South Carolina and the SEC was a little overmatched. And a lot like the Penn State problem is he didn't have a lot of separation.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to look at wide receivers in this year's draft, you don't see any South Carolina kids coming up anytime soon. So he was having to I think a lot of times he tried to throw the receivers open, and he didn't have as much success in that as if, I know, a play was designed like a professional team would, where if the receiver is running, has a step or two on its defender, he can put it where he wants to be. And I'm going to give you a real sleeper. I like Austin Reed out of Western Kentucky a little bit too.
Okay.
Late rounders,
was it Sam Darnold?
Yes.
Okay, Sam
Darnold's
Darnold.
The one
got
from
it.
USC.
Yep.
That reminds me a little bit of a guy that didn't have a lot of snaps and just comes out because he's either a senior or he declares for the draft, and I don't think he's NFL ready.
Right.
And I was right, of course. I'm always right. I don't know when the last time I was wrong.
Okay. And Spencer Rattler, he's
going to get drafted. He's going to be a late rounder.
Yeah, he's like there was some talk about if the Steelers wanted to take another quarterback that he might be somebody that's available in the later round.
Well, someone's going to definitely draft him. He's not going to be an undrafted free agent. He's just one of those guys that he had a couple years. His last year was not his best year, so he kind of declined from his junior year to his senior year. But say what you want. Again, he played for a bad South Carolina team who didn't have a lot of, I would say, explosive receivers that got open all the time. But I like the kid.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep him in mind. I'm not saying he's going to be a good day. He's going to surprise everybody by going ahead of anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, every year you see teams that get into their own head, and they, like the Jets, who end up taking that Wilson kid.
Right.
You know, second overall with a second one taken, or the time the Bears took Mr. Pittsburgh, the kid, Pittsburgh dude that was here last year that's just signed with Buffalo. I just lost his name.
Oh, from Pitt?
No, he played for Pitt Steelers last year.
And he signed with the
Bills this year.
What's the?
He started games for the Steelers last year.
At what position?
Quarterback.
Oh,
I keep thinking Matt Castle's. You know, I can't get
no,
it out
Mitch
of my
Trubisky.
Head. Thank you. So and,
just
you know,
throwing me off
so
there,
all
man.
That stuff. So I know there's a. It's pretty obvious on the quarterbacks, but I think since quarterback is such an important position, everybody's pretty much on the same guys there. I'm just got a question mark on J.J. McCarthy, so he could be my next miss. Put it that way.
All right.
I don't project him being as good as everybody else does.
Okay. Okay. I love seeing some of these, and I would have to find his name. There was a quarterback who played at Ohio State, but he didn't play. He was on Ohio State's roster.
I know who you mean.
Ends up going to Gannon. Goes to Gannon and just lights it up. And I was actually watching his pro day, and he's just got an absolute cannon for an arm.
He went to Ohio State, though.
Yeah, and he's a big kid. Like he's like Roethlisberger size, and I love those stories. Not to say that they're going to have any kind of success, but I love watching out for those stories to see what happens with some of those kids.
Well, and then, you know, with the transfer portal the way it is, you're going to have that every year. These guys at Ohio State and Penn State will sign 3 5-star recruits at quarterback, even though they have a 5-star that's only a sophomore starting ahead of them.
Right.
And then
right.
they transfer.
Yep.
You know, they just realize I got a chance. I'm not going to go pro if I sit the bench.
Yeah. So even if I go to a lower division, I'm going to start.
Going to have some tape.
Next position you want to go to. Running back. Let's do it.
Let me start this thing by saying, overall, I think I got 26 first round grades for every position.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just not enough of them to go around as far as how many teams there are. But it's close because I got a lot of people that were first and second rounders that,
mm-hmm.
depending on need of a team and depending on injuries or holes like Pittsburgh and Dallas have, they don't have a center on either team, where a center is going to go, it should have went in round two, is going to go to round one. And we'll talk about that when we get up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I honest to God, there's not going to be a running back taken in the first round this year.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should there be. Like there's no one, I guess, as good as some of the first-round running backs in the past. Okay.
So who's your top?
I'm different than anybody else. My top running back this year is Jalen Wright out of Tennessee.
Okay.
4.38, had like a 38-inch vertical, a 134 and a broad jump on the combine. Very explosive, powerful legs, and he can catch the ball. The only thing I would say about him, he's such an athletic dude, is might have to work on some pass protection. So he might be your first and second down back. Speed to burn. I mean, just
Yeah, he played in 12 games, 136 attempts, 1,010 yards, but that was like 7.4 yards per carry.
Yep.
Four touchdowns, but also 22 receptions.
He can catch the
ball. For 141 yards.
And I like him. A lot of people like that Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly don't think there's anything wrong with him. He's 6'2", 238, so he's durable. He held up, you know, in the Big Ten, that type of thing. Some of the experts like him better. I do not.
Yeah.
I would say Braylon Allen is going to get drafted in third, fourth round. I don't even know if he ran at the combine because I don't have it right here. I know he's a strong kid. He did 26 reps of 225.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Jalen Wright out of Tennessee a lot. I would love for him to fall. I'm looking at a list of running backs from some combination of experts, and they have him fifth.
All right.
Trey Benson out of Florida State, another guy that's fast, and he went to Florida State, all athletic, is all get out. No injury, like he wasn't. It's not like the Jonathan Brooks kid who was all world until he tore his ACL.
Yeah,
and he's not going to be ready, but
he won't be ready. But he'll be a later round pick, and he might be a steal for somebody at running back. But he lost his draft stock.
And what do you do
hurt
with guys like Brooks who are hurt and Blake Corum of Michigan, mm-hmm, who only ran a 4.53 at the combine, but nobody could tackle him in college in the Big Ten, and he's coming off a ACL.
Right. Right.
Right. So I just think NFL teams put more stock into injury in the past than you and I would after watching them play all year. So that would be my comment on Corum and Brooks.
Okay. Any sleepers?
Marshawn Lloyd out of USC.
Okay.
He is like a little bowling ball. He's only 5'9". He weighs 212 pounds. That dude turned in a 4.46 and did 25 reps on the bench press.
Yeah, he averaged 7.1 yards a carry.
And this is with the number one quarterback in the nation slinging the ball around. So, I don't know, you could have just said that, you know, he can obviously catch the ball because he wouldn't be out there playing in USC if he couldn't catch the ball in that offense.
Right.
But you better watch that kid. He's going to be taken behind some of these guys with some previous college injuries, and he's going to be very, very good.
Okay.
Two more guys I would just put the name in the back of your hat.
Go ahead.
Kamani Vidal out of Troy. 5'7", 218, did a 4.46 at the combine. Had a 10-foot broad jump and a 38-inch vertical.
295 attempts for 1,661 yards.
How's that?
At Troy. Yeah, not too shabby.
No.
5.6 yards
a carry. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how many catches. I didn't see him.
He had 18 receptions for 200 yards.
All right, so not a lot of pick catches with 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like one, less than two a game. But obviously he can catch it. But
yeah,
he's one of those kids that if he has a hole, by the time he hits the burners and gets through it, he's 3-4 yards downfield before he first hit.
Who's your other?
Last one I'll give you. Big Ten Glover. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Tyrone Tracy of Purdue. Another 4.48. Purdue had a pretty bad offense this year.
Yeah, he only ran the ball 114 times for 7.14, but that was a 6.3 yards per carry average. So, but he was also had 19 receptions for 138 yards.
Yeah. So a lot of screens, a lot of bubble stuff for him.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I'm not sure about him is he didn't do all those measurables. He didn't do all the drills in the combine. I don't know if he got hurt or nicked up a little bit.
Right.
But just there's the two sleepers.
He did. Yeah. And actually, here's the thing to remember. He in 2022, he had 17 carries.
Right.
Then in 2023, he had 114.
Yeah,
so he had almost 100 more carries in his last season.
And it was Purdue.
And it's Purdue.
So,
right. They're not just not
so
that
they're
good.
They're not great, and they're playing against Big Ten defenses like Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State,
right.
Wisconsin, guys that have, you know, good linebacking anyway.
Receivers next?
Yeah, we'll do receivers.
All right.
There's a ton of these. Unlike running backs, there might be 10 receivers taken in the first round.
So let's talk about, well, who's your number one?
Harrison.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about something before we get into his numbers. Big deal about he didn't do anything at the combine.
He shouldn't have.
You know, he hasn't really done much of anything.
He shouldn't have. I was his agent, he doesn't do a thing.
All right. You look at the tape. You look at the tape.
That's it.
Go ahead.
Nobody thinks he's the second best receiver. This guy has had reports that he is one of the best receivers that have come out since, Calvin Johnson. Calvin, thank you. I couldn't think of the last name, from Detroit.
You weren't thinking Calvin Austin of the Steelers,
no,
right?
I was not. Calvin Johnson.
Right.
So this kid is just, he comes, his dad was an NFL, hell of a receiver.
Right.
Got the bloodlines. He did nothing at Ohio State. Now, I will tell you this. He didn't do the whole route tree at Ohio State.
Right.
But he is just his hands are glue.
Yeah.
Like, you get it anywhere near him, he somehow comes down.
He's going to catch the football.
And nobody, not one defensive back all over college football in the Big Ten or whatever, caught him. Like,
right.
Covered him. They couldn't catch him when he caught the ball. He may not have some of the elusiveness of, say, Odunzie of Washington.
Right.
But he's by far the best receiver out there. And I think he's going to go number four to...
Targeted 114 times, 1,211 yards, 18.1 yards per reception. 14 touchdowns. So he had two seasons back-to-back of 14 touchdowns. He had more receiving yards and a few more receiving yards and a few more targets in 2022. But you're looking at 1,263 versus 1,211. So who cares?
Right.
Still an elite, elite receiver.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the best ones to come out in the last 5 years.
Okay. Who's your number two?
Well, here's the thing. I don't have a clear cut number two. Probably have, let me count them. One, two. I probably have three guys that could go that I think are worth the next pick. Malik Nabers out of LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Rome Odunzie out of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, if I can find where he's at, I like the other LSU kid, Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas Jr.
Yep. And he's 6'4", 210, ran a 4.33. What's not to like?
Yeah.
Now, one of those guys is going to fall, because when you run a 4.33, Xavier Worthy of Texas ran a 4.21.
Yeah.
He did a 41-inch vertical and a 10-foot, 11-inch broad jump. You think he's athletic?
Yeah.
So I think out of Malik Nabers of LSU and Rome Odunzie, one of those guys is going to be the second receiver off the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a combine time for Nabers, so he must not have ran it.
Okay.
But Rome Odunzie ran a 4.45. Again, Worthy out of Texas ran a 4.21. Thomas, LSU, a 4.33, and Adonai Mitchell from Texas ran a 4.34.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the two Texas guys are just speed to burn.
Right.
So, who knows? It's whatever general manager you think, but I would take my number two, I would take the Odunzie kid out of Washington.
Out of Washington. All right.
Love him. He runs 6.3, and he does every route he's been asked to run.
Okay, so he's got, like, the full route tree.
He's got
tree.
The full tree.
Okay.
Malik Nabers, I don't know, nobody could cover him. So right. I don't know how many routes he had to run. He did a lot of crossing patterns, post patterns. And he had an NFL quarterback throwing to him.
Right.
So that helps.
Right.
But there's probably Brian Thomas, I mentioned. Love for him to drop to 24 to Dallas, put him across from CeeDee Lamb. Pittsburgh could use Brian Thomas in the worst way, but I don't think they're going to pick first-round receiver. They may if they sign a free agent lineman. Not sure about that. But then you got that Mitchell out of Texas, Jalen McMillan, the other Washington dude.
Mm-hmm.
All he did was run a 4.47 with a 37-inch vertical leap and a 10-foot, 7-inch broad jump.
Yep.
At 6'1". He's a little skinnier. He's a slot guy, 6'1", 182. But, again, you can't cover him in a slot.
Right.
Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina. He's an outside big dude,
6'3", 227. Yeah.
4.39.
That's insane.
At 6'3", 220.
Yeah, that's
so
nuts.
So the kid is just all athletic as hell.
Any sleepers?
Tez Walker out of North Carolina.
Okay.
6'3", 192. He ran a 4.36, 40. Just another kid that's real athletic and a kind of a pro-type offense. And one guy I liked, and I didn't know this, but this Burton out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apparently this guy has more character issues than, you know, this is, this guy has some baggage because mm-hmm. he transferred, he went to Bama and he got into some heat in Bama, I guess some off the field issues.
Is he one of the reasons why Saban retired?
No, Saban retired because of the NIL money.
Okay.
He can't get.
He just never paid anybody.
He used to go. Yeah, right. He used to go into a house, and if he wanted you, you signed with Alabama. Now it's not a level playing field. Right. He's not getting them all, so he's not winning.
Right.
Every championship. But this Burton kid is an athlete. Just if you can put up with him, might be another Antonio Brown.
Okay.
Right. He's going to be good, and then he might wait till he gets his first check, and then he's going to be.
I want your because this guy has shown up on some Steeler draft boards.
Okay,
Ricky Pearsall out of
sleeper.
Florida. Okay, okay.
Ricky Pearsall, 6'1", 200. Ran a 4.41, 42-inch vertical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's dunking the basketball.
Yeah.
And again, he's just athletic.
Right, right.
So we'll see. I don't know how many route trees Florida runs. I didn't get – there's so many good receivers. I didn't look at every catch. The other guy that's very, very good out of the slot, and he'd only be a slot because he's a little dude, Malik Washington out of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
No one talks about this kid.
I remember watching him play against Pitt. Yeah,
he reminds me a lot about Calvin Austin when he was in college.
Yeah,
just slot routes, crossing routes, bubble screens,
and if he gets loose, he's gone.
Yep.
Yeah,
return. Yeah. He's a kick return. Like he can return kicks.
Yep.
But that kid out of Virginia, he did himself showed up very well at pro day, running a 4.47.
Yep.
All right. I'm just trying to see if I have any more small school. Oh, I got two, three you're going to like.
Okay, let's hear it.
Anthony Gold out of Oregon State.
Okay.
Another slot guy, 5'8", 160.
Mm-hmm.
Ran a 4.39 at the Pro Bowl. And again, this guy's even smaller. This might be your Calvin Austin type.
Gotcha,
guy.
Gotcha.
Bubble screen.
Yep.
Punt returner, all that.
Yep.
And someone that you're going to love this, that I liked when I watched him and I didn't like him in college. How about Bub Means out of Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I guess he had some, he really had a really good measurables in not only his pro day, but
well,
at the combine.
Didn't have a quarterback.
No, they didn't. But I'm just saying, like, he's got a lot of the skills, but they didn't have a quarterback. Or they didn't start the right quarterback soon enough.
Until
the end of the season, right. And then they finally put Yarnell in.
Well, and if you listen to all the other sleepers and stuff I'm giving it to you, it's from teams like Washington, Texas, you know, Ohio State. These guys all have NFL quarterbacks. Jalen McMillan, again, Washington. I said Leggett from South Carolina, and we already talked about Spencer Rattler throwing to him. So all these guys have NFL caliber quarterbacks except for this Bub Means in Pittsburgh, Anthony Gold at Oregon State, and the other one that nobody talks about that I like was another Michigan kid. And we all talked about how, whether I'm right or wrong, J.J. McCarthy is going to get drafted in the top 10. And this Cornelius Johnson, one of his receivers, 6'3", 211, all he did was run a 4.44 40 and had a 37-inch vertical. So he's very explosive, very quick. But other than those two little slot guys, Gold from Oregon State and Bub Means out of Pittsburgh, Bub Means isn't a slot guy. He's an outside dude. He's a 6'2", 215. But all these other quarterbacks that I said were sleeper ability all had NFL caliber quarterbacks that are going to get drafted this year. So that's the one difference I can tell you about the kid from Pittsburgh why he may not have had the stats.
Yeah, there was some, even on like the NFL Network, there was some rumblings. They were talking about Bub Means at the combine and what good numbers he put up. And I like, he's got all the skills. He just, you know, had a shitty quarterback, but also
a shitty offense.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm like, we're going to talk about this, you know, on another podcast because we're in spring football right now. We're going to have a podcast talking about Pitt and Penn State spring football. I'll be really curious. I'm going to try to get some Pitt guests on. What do you think of the new offensive coordinator? What
do you
think
of the offensive? Wagner for Penn State.
Yeah, we'll get Wayne Wagner on for Penn State. We'll try to reach out to our guy, Chris Carter, for talk about Pitt because he's been covering Pitt spring drills. See if we can get Billy Stubb. Maybe we can get Scorin Doran to come on, talk a little bit Pitt football.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a homer.
That's what I love about
him. About 115% homer.
And Crowley's not for West Virginia.
At least Crowley will admit that half his homer is just because that's where he went to school. Dorn will pick Pitt to beat
Alabama,
Kansas City Chiefs on any given weekend, every time. I think they got a chance. They're going to cover the 17 against the Kansas City Chiefs. He's such a homer.
What position are we going to next?
Let's go tight end because there's not many.
All right, let's go to tight end.
Obviously, I kind of agree with everybody else that Brock Bowers kid out of Georgia. Now, he's coming off some injuries to his legs. That could hurt. But that Brock Bowers kid out of Georgia is just a freak. He's a Gronk. He's a Gronk type dude.
Mm-hmm.
6'3", 230 pounds.
Big dude.
Big dude. Good route runner. Good hands. Fast enough for the NFL where linebackers can't cover him. He can block. He's definitely number one.
Got it.
I'm going to go – this is going to sound weird because he didn't have
Are you going to be a Big Ten homer here?
Yes.
Talking about homers, go ahead.
The next two Big Ten homers I'm going to give you. Theo Johnson out of Penn State had a great pro day. That's all I'm going to say.
There
six,
we go.
6'2", 250.
There's the homer for you. A
little bit. I don't have him.
There you go, Doran.
He's the most athletic tight end in the draft by far, but he didn't do much at Penn State. He made some big catches, but he was very inconsistent in college. He kind of looked like he was rumbling after he made the catch. He ran like a 4.57, which isn't bad for a tight end.
No.
But the Big Ten homer that I love, that I haven't heard anybody say they like him, is a kid out of Illinois. His name is Tip. Yes, Tip.
Tip Reiman.
Tip, not the
Ryman.
Shaft. Reiman.
Right, just the tip.
6'5", 265, and he loves to block.
Mm-hmm.
At 6'5", 265, wouldn't you want to knock someone down?
Mm-hmm.
But listen to this athletic score he did.
Okay.
He only ran a 4.64. Now,
he's
not running nine routes every play.
Right.
Right? 28 reps on the bench, 10 foot in the broad jump, and 34 vertical leap. His kid, I don't even know if Illinois knew he was on the team because mm-hmm. he was not used enough.
He averaged 10.7 yards a catch.
They didn't throw it to him.
They didn't throw to him.
Well, I mean, who's the quarterback at Illinois?
Yeah, you name him. You're the Big Ten guy.
I don't know.
He was only targeted 24 times.
Yeah, and I don't get it.
But you know
that kid. Keep your eye out for him. I don't think he's going to go ahead of Brock Bowers. Kansas State's Ben Sinnott. He's probably going to be one of the second or third ones taken with Theo Johnson.
Okay.
And then Florida State has a kid named Waheem Bell, 6'3", 230, that just went off during the.
Mm-hmm. During the combine.
Yeah, he did. But Tip Reiman was really, really good.
Let me ask you about another Big Ten guy, Eric All out of Iowa. 6'5", 250.
Again, he wasn't used enough.
Yeah.
He was a blocking guy.
Yeah.
But
a pretty good blocker.
Good blocker, and yeah. I can't tell you who the quarterback of Iowa is.
Right.
I don't know. And I watch every Big Ten every week.
Right.
But in the same way with Illinois. So he's ranked, he's on this list. I don't have him high. I actually have a kid named Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona ranked ahead of him at 6'5", 240. So all these tight ends are ridiculous.
What about Cade Stover out of Ohio State?
Cade Stover of Ohio State is your typical going to be a tight end for 10 years in this league. He's not going to be a star, but he's going to be your second tight end that lines up in – you know, he's only 6'1", 245. He'll catch the ball when you throw it to him. He's not going to be your starting tight end, but he'll be in the league for 10 years.
Okay. Yeah, he'll make a nice paycheck.
Yep, he sure will.
All right.
Be a nice career.
What next?
Where are we at? Tackles?
Let's go to tackles.
Because there's a lot more of them than there is guards and centers.
All right. So, at tackle, who you got as your top?
Joe Alt
out of Notre Dame.
And I don't even think it's close.
Okay.
All these people saying that, you know, Fuaga from Oregon State, Latham of Alabama, Fatanu out of Washington,
Fashanu out of Penn State.
Fashanu out of Penn State.
Yeah.
Mims out of Georgia. All these guys are big, big dudes.
Mims is a big, you're hearing a lot of rumblings of him with the Steelers. And the Steelers might have to go up and get him.
I don't know, because lately they're checking on his injury status. He's soft. Mm. He's 6'7", 315.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's 6'7", he has no knee bend, right? This guy's a right tackle. He's not a left tackle. in the NFL. And he's very injured, very injury prone. So I'll be, he's going to be there when Pittsburgh drafts. He might be there in the second round because of some of the injury stuff. But I love Joe Alt.
Yeah, which
is so weird because that
you hate because you hate Notre Dame.
I don't hate Notre Dame. I just think it's, I don't know, the Golden Domers, all that horse shit, and I'm a Penn State guy.
And especially after their athletic director completely threw water on them joining any conference whatsoever.
Yeah, like they're better than everyone else, and now they're the only one of two independents in the whole country.
Right.
Good, you're not getting into the playoffs.
And for a Catholic school, they're just flipping the bird at everybody. They're like, fine, we'll take the money.
And then we'll get any devoted Catholic player we want.
Yeah.
But Joe Walt, hey, but if you watch him play, this guy was a tight end, I believe, when he was a freshman.
I believe you're right. But 6'8". This guy's a monster.
Listen, 320 pounds. And he was a tight end. When he was a tight end, he weighed like 260.
And his coach is going to say, yeah, we think he's still got a frame to put on some more weight.
Yeah, that dude, how many milkshakes did that guy have in a day, right? But if you watch
He didn't go to Penn State. He didn't have access to the creamery.
No.
So, you know, what are you going to do?
Olafashnew did at 6'6", 322.
Yeah.
Olafashnew is one of the top two tackles, and he could play left tackle. That dude didn't allow a sack. And if you know Penn State's offensive line, they are not known for not giving up sacks.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can say that about that dude, plus this kid's smart.
Yeah.
That Olafashnew guy is very
Hadn't he already graduated?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. He's in grad school.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I already talked about Mims, where I don't think he's going to be. I think you got to take guys like Fuaga.
What now, about J.C. Latham out of Alabama?
Absolutely. He's one of those big dudes, 6'6", 300. Latham and Fuaga are right tackles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now their arms are shorter. This whole thing, I don't understand about how these NFL guys will say a guy with 34-inch arms is a left tackle, but if you have 32.5-inch arms, you got to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that inch and a half, if a guy's coming around the corner, if Watt's coming around the corner, wouldn't you want that inch and a half at right tackle as well?
I've been asking for an extra inch and a half my whole life.
Right, and you know, I don't. It doesn't ruin my day. Troy Fontenot out of Washington.
Yeah. 6'4", 317.
Big dude, but he's an actual left tackle. He can move.
So here's the thing, and just we're going to touch on the Steelers just for a second. So Broderick Jones is a natural left tackle, correct? They had him playing right tackle.
Yes.
So if the Steelers wanted to move Broderick Jones to his natural position at left tackle.
Go get Latham. Or this Fuaga.
Yeah.
He's right now, he's probably a professional run blocker.
Yeah.
He's not as good in the pass protection. But again, he played at Oregon State. Can you coach him up? I don't know. I hope so. Tyler Guyton is another big dude, 6'7", 320, out of Oklahoma. He's very, very, he plays, he almost stands up after every time I watched him. He's very high.
Okay.
Like, he does not
he
a lot of knee
more,
bend.
Not
he's not going to be, I don't know if a guard can be 6'7". But he's not a left tackle. And I don't know, with the way he plays high, unless you can teach him to play low, I don't know. But he looks like he just plays too high for me. But he's going to get drafted at 6'7", 320 from Oklahoma.
Right. And you know what? People don't realize how important that is.
Amen.
There was a, God, I'm trying to remember, you know, I'm going a little bit off the path here, but there was a really good commentator on Pitt's opening game this past year. And of course, they played a cupcake and they kicked the daylights out of them. But the Keller commentator notices, like, these Pitt linemen are not getting low. They're standing straight up and they're not running for as many yards as they should be against this team.
Okay.
Okay. And I really looked at that and I was like, you know, he was absolutely right, because later in the season, they couldn't run the football. They couldn't run the football. And, you know, never mind that they had a dog shit quarterback, but
a coordinator.
But the thing is, you know, that really, you pay attention to those kinds of things, even playing against a cupcake. It's like, you know what? You better get that shit corrected when you're, but you can't, you're already into the season.
Well, and think about it at the goal line. Low men win at the goal line. When you're facing defensive tackles that are 6'5", 330,
right?
and you want to move them a yard when everyone knows you're coming, it's like a rugby scrum.
Mm-hmm.
You can't – the higher man loses at the goal line.
Right.
So that's the big thing in the NFL is short yardage.
Right.
And once you get up and you stand up like that, you lose your – unless you can have a really good bend, those pass rushers are by you.
They're,
and you see
they're
them
going
dipping.
To blow pass.
They lower, they lower their left shoulder coming around,
look
and
what,
they reach around and hit the ball out of the corner.
I mean, look what T.J. Watt does. Like, he has an unbelievable bend.
And he has
coming,
spin.
Yeah.
And you can't do any you can't do anything against either one of those moves.
But even the – and I'm blanking on his name right now, but the kid that they picked up from Wisconsin, this was his rookie year, and he got to play a little bit, but he made an – Herbig. Same. He's not a big dude.
No.
But he's got unbelievable bent, and he gets lower than any lineman.
The other Pittsburgh Steeler just signed a big contract this year on the other side of TJ.
Oh,
had a hell of a year.
Yeah, Highsmith. Yeah.
He's got a bend,
yeah.
He's also got a motor, but so does TJ. But against these big, tall guys, that's the only you can beat them three different ways.
Well, and this is what I have to laugh about the people that comment on these games. They're like, oh, you know, he's only, you know, Alex Highsmith is only good because of TJ Watt. Now, when TJ Watt is hurt, like Highsmith is just owning
then
everybody.
He gets every sack.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. It's like pick your poison, man.
And they had Herbig over there at the
and
left
then they
side.
Put Herbig over, and then, you know, what are you going to do? And not only that, Herbig spent an awful lot of time getting tutored by TJ, especially about strip sacks. Because you notice when he's coming around
to,
the
you
end.
You don't have to get to the quarterback.
No,
the
you just
knock it out.
You just got to be able to reach out there and knock the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, let me
all right,
let me finish
ahead.
Up this. So
and then we'll go to guards.
Yeah.
All right.
Guards and centers.
All right.
But let me get this guy. We talked about these guys. A couple names that I think could be very good, but they have some medical problems. It's Jordan Morgan out of Arizona.
All right.
6'5", 330, for God's sakes. He's coming off an ACL tear.
Got it.
So he's going to wear that brace that looks like a neck brace for you and me, but they put it under calf. To the
I right. wore one time, but it fit around my waist.
Yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do with that.
Yeah.
Looks like a sex swing. And then a guy I wanted that I really liked at the Senior Bowl tape was out of Texas, Christian Jones, 6'6", 315. He was one of those guys that when the Senior Bowl people went after him, he stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way as who I think when we get to the – inside blockers, the best lineman in the entire draft that the Steelers are going to end up with. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one guy I really want to warn you about is Patrick Paul out of Houston.
Okay.
Big dude. That guy looks like a robot. No fluidity.
No fluidity to
None.
His movement.
Like he
yeah.
just looks like he has to think before he steps back.
He's like that tight end for Pittsburgh, Washington. He's very fluid when he's blocking, but when he's running pass routes, he looks robotic.
He's a big dude, and a lot of people like him because he's 6'7", 315.
Right.
He didn't allow a lot of sacks, but he played for Houston, and he looks stiff playing Houston's competition.
Right.
So I just worry about him at the next level. I don't think he's going to be as good as people think, but I do love Christian Jones, Texas. I think he's a starter.
Okay.
From
okay.
Day one.
Let's move on to guards.
Well, the inside, I kind of lumped guards and centers in, and I think the best lineman in the entire draft, guard, center, or tackle, is Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. He's the center. He can also play guard, but I would sell my soul to the devil. Mm-hmm. I was going to say I'd give my left nut, but I don't really want to do that. Sell my soul to the devil if Dallas, he would slip to 24 and Dallas got him.
Yeah.
This guy is like Zach Martin. The closest thing I can tell from when Zach Martin was at the Senior Bowl and this kid's at the Senior Bowl, he's unblockable. Nobody got by him.
All right.
He was a rock, and he would fit Pittsburgh perfectly. With their history of centers, from Pouncey to all the Hall of Fame dudes.
Yeah, but you look at like who – like what – well – yeah, and he played for
Oregon.
Oregon, yeah. Is he going to be there, though, at 20?
He shouldn't, but the way Pittsburgh works out with DeCastro and other people that seem to fall right in their lap no matter where they go.
So let me ask you a question. Mims and Powers Johnson fall to 20. If you are Omar Khan,
not
who are you
close.
Taking?
Powers Jones.
Powers Jones.
Because I can get a tackle next round. All right. Not as good as Mims, maybe. But right. Remember, you but got some a guy that might... should be left tackle now, playing
okay.
right tackle.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Right.
And there is not another... There is just not any centers. There's two. No.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, who's your second center? Let's just go there.
Frazier out of West Virginia.
Frazier out of West Virginia.
Coming off a...
An injury.
Bad injury.
Bad injury, yeah.
Yep. But other than that, that okay. kid, against Pitt, when West yeah. Virginia opened, he was a wall.
Okay, so...
He was picking up blitzers after he knocked the nose tackle off.
Last center I want to talk about. Because this has come up as far as a possible Steeler pick.
I like him if you say his name right.
Cedric Van Praan. Out of...
Okay,
out
not
of,
who I was out, thinking.
Out of Georgia.
I got the second best... I don't know if Van Praan's an actual center.
Or is it Bo Limmer?
I like.
Or is it Drake Nugent?
I like Cooper Beebe.
Cooper Beebe.
Out of Kansas State. He's a guard.
Oh, he's a guard.
He's
All
a
right.
guard because they're lumped in there. I think he's better. Cedric Van Praan, I think, can play center. I think he's more of a I think he's a guard as well. That's what I'm saying. Like, true centers, you got Powers Johnson and Zach Frazier.
Okay.
Right? And okay. then I like Cedric Van Praan. He played for the national champion. He's still 6'4", 310.
Yeah.
The guy is not going to be I don't think he's going to be a problem. I don't think he gets picked till the fourth round.
Okay.
So I think you could get him. Right. I think Cooper Beebe is
So in other words, second round, you'd be reaching for him.
I believe so.
Okay.
Doesn't know, but if you need him, there's only two or three good centers on the whole draft. So if you don't have one, Dallas... Pittsburgh. You don't have
both
any center.
Both of our teams need centers this year.
The free agent center left months ago.
So guards, like pure guards.
Beebe,
all right.
I like that kid. Christian Mahogany out of Boston College. I like him.
What about Christian Haynes out of Connecticut?
Yeah, I like Christian Haynes. I have a nice mark on him. My question was competition.
Right.
He played for UConn. So I don't know how many NFL pass rushers he faced.
Right.
Or blitzes or NFL schemes for defenses. But he did well for what the competition he played against. He's just, I would rather have like the kid from Kansas State.
Yeah, Cooper Beebe.
Other than him. But I don't think any of these guys are getting picked before the fourth round.
Okay.
It's very bad, other than Jackson Powers.
All right.
And I don't know if Jackson Powers Johnson is a legit 20th pick in the draft.
But if he's there.
And he's a 10-year starter. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Literally, who gives a shit? Yep. Just keep your eye on two guys. Bo Limmer from Arkansas is a center.
Okay.
He may be the third center taken off the board. I don't think it'll be before round four.
All right.
And keep your eye for guards. I'm going to go small school. I'm going to give you one called Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State.
Hold on one second. I want to ask about somebody that I keep on hearing on the – there's a couple of –
Brandon Coleman out of TCU is another center.
There was some kid. What position does he play? I think he's a guard, but they're talking about moving him to center from Duke. Who is that kid?
I don't know if I studied the kid from Duke.
Because he was like, people
I
have been.
I did not study.
Okay, there was some buzz about him. But I don't know. I
don't know how I missed him. I studied a kid for C.J. Hansen out of Holy Cross, for God's sakes. How I missed Duke.
Yeah, I honestly, I was looking at some of these mock drafts, and of course, you know, shithead me, I can't find him now. But, here he is. Graham Barton, offensive lineman out of Duke, 6'5", 313.
I think I have him listed as a tackle.
Yeah, so here's, and I want to give total credit to Jim.
I do. He's a tackle for me.
He's a tackle. Okay, but they're talking about him. That's right. He is a left tackle.
Yep.
But they're talking about him, about moving him to center.
Well, I've heard talk from moving him to guard, but I didn't hear anything about center.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe he played center earlier in his career.
Yeah. It's you know, he's got a lot of great tools. And actually, from SteelersDepot.com, their last mock draft, they had the Steelers taking him in the first round.
No way. Not happening.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, lack of ideal arm strength shows up against long limb defenders. That's why they would want to move him inside.
Yeah, guard.
He'll have to move inside the NFL because of well below average arm length for an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
But there was something about they were talking about his athleticism, and that his freshman year he actually did play center. But they're just looking at his physical tools and what he has, and he's playing on the outside at Duke, which he can get away with playing at Duke.
Well, but I get my comment to that would be my devil's advocate. If he's that athletic, why don't you have McGarden have him pull?
Have him pull, right.
Right? You don't see many centers pulling after they snap the ball. You do it on occasion. You do see some people doing that. But most of the time, it's the guards that pull.
Right,
and
right.
And if he's that athletic, I'd keep McGarden.
Right. All right. We got to get moving here. So.
All right, so let's go to the defensive lineman on the defensive side of the ball.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a lot of them. I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of these are going to get drafted. I like Byron Murphy out of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He's an obvious one. I love Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, and that comes from a guy whose team just drafted Mozzie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
The bust. Mm-hmm. Cowboys, nice pick, you douche.
You called it.
I did call it. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite, this guy, he has a high motor, and this dude's mean. Just absolutely mean, and he's the most athletic tackle in the draft. It's called Braden Fiske out of Florida State.
Out of Florida State, yeah.
He's a just
6'5", 297.
And he could be a little bigger, right?
Yeah, he could put some weight on.
He was at 300 at one point when they did his measurements.
All right.
In the interest of time, I'm just going to give you a couple I like. I like Lee out of Iowa as a sleeper. I like Rook Ahorahoro out of Clemson. And another kid, Gabe Hall out of Michigan, could all end up being picks that end up in the – there's going to be some defensive linemen that are there in the NFL for 10 years.
What about Newton out of Illinois?
Everyone likes him more than I do. He's lighter than most. He's only 290 according to what I got here. I don't know what he weighed in at the
– He weighed in at 295 at the combine. So he's putting on weight.
He is, but you know those offensive linemen I just mentioned are all 330. Tough to give up 35 pounds.
Right, right.
Now, he's obviously not a one tech, so he would be probably a three technique.
Right.
Where he lines up in the gap, and but I don't know how many. If he gets double teamed, I think he's done. Let's move to the edge.
Okay.
What a horrible year for pass rushers. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say there may be four that get drafted before the fifth round.
Okay, let me see if I can guess your four.
I'll give you the one that's going to get drafted first.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Latu out of UCLA.
Nope.
Okay.
He's in the top four.
Turner out of Alabama.
That's it. He'll be the first one off the board.
Verse out of Florida State.
Yep.
And Braswell out of Alabama.
No. I have Chop Robinson out of
Penn State. Chop Robinson out of Penn State. Well, you're a homer, so that's why.
And that's all true, right, because Chop Robinson had a best good combine, but he's relatively short, real short arms.
Okay.
So when you're coming around that corner and you want to try to pin that lineman's arms down around his waist to get around him,
right,
I don't know how he's going to do. And he didn't have a lot of sacks at Penn State, but just a lot of production.
Great name, though. Great name.
Absolutely. Jared Verse would be my first pick.
I would take Jared Verse.
Before I would take Dallas Turner, and I am different on that than every other expert, but you hit him. Robinson first, Dallas Turner, and the Tuilatu.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't think I have Cedric John. Here's my sleeper.
Okay.
Cedric Johnson, Mississippi.
All right.
6'3", 265. but he ran a 4.63 40, 38 vertical, 10-foot broad jump, and he did 25 reps on it on the bench press.
Okay.
Watch him.
Can I give you my sleeper?
I'm gonna give you one more of mine.
All right, go ahead.
A guy named Nealand out of Western Michigan, so go ahead.
All right, I'm going to give you Muhammad Kamara out of Colorado State. He's going to be my sleeper.
I have him as the next level.
I had 6'1", 250.
I gave him three stars. All the other guys, I gave four.
I just like his motor. I like his motor. Because that game against Colorado where they just, that was just a bloodbath. And he just was nonstop.
He's fast.
He is fast. Like
4.57.
I like him. I like him a lot.
I have him and Xavier Thomas.
So everybody, he is my sleeper. So when we're analyzing next year,
We're gonna know who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah, Muhammad Kamara out of Colorado State.
Good.
All right.
He's definitely gonna be on the team.
All right.
Let's go next round linebackers. And I'm going to tell you right now, this might be the worst linebacker crop.
This was bad.
In 10 years.
That's why I was really glad the Steelers actually paid money and got Patrick Queen.
Yeah, they're going to need another one.
Yeah.
Trust me. My favorite guy, Patrick Wilson out of NC State, just from football.
Yeah.
He's my favorite linebacker.
Peyton Wilson.
NC State.
Yeah.
You know, he's had 10 surgeries already. No one's picking him.
His nickname is Frankenstein.
Double-digit surgeries.
He's like Stink. He's like Mark Schlereth, and he hasn't even played a pro down yet.
And he ran a 4.4.
That's insane.
230-pound linebacker. He had 138 tackles.
After 10 surgeries.
And he had 138 tackles. You know my linebacker stat. I love 100 tackles out of a guy. Right? Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M is going to go very high. Trotter out of Clemson and Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Tommy Eichenberg from Ohio State
is
another one of those guys that's going to come in and play give you. He's going to be on an NFL roster.
Right.
I don't think he's going to be great. There is nobody on here, I think. There's going to be one linebacker taken on day one, and I don't know if it's going to be Trotter or Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only because Dallas might end up picking him like an idiot.
What about Junior Colson out of Michigan?
Colson's going to get picked again. He's going to play in the NFL a long time. I don't think he's a starter.
I didn't like some of his measurables.
And he didn't have a lot of tackles.
And he didn't have a ton of tackles.
I don't know if he can get off blocks.
That was the thing. That was the knock against him, is that if he's playing against a really good lineman that gets up to the second level, he can't get off the block.
Can't shed the block.
He can't shed it, no.
Now, the one kid that I'll tell you that I liked, Olafoscio from Washington.
Okay.
Boy, did he show up in big games.
Yeah.
Overall stats weren't great, but he ran a 4.56, so he can row sideline to sideline.
Mm-hmm.
They have him down here. Most people think he's going to be a late rounder. I bet he gets picked by the fourth round.
Let me give you a name.
Go ahead.
But you might poo-poo him because of who he played against.
Okay.
But, you know, this Jordan McGee out of Temple.
Oh, you know me. I don't.
I know you don't like.
I don't even like film on Temple.
Right. I like the kid.
Okay.
I like him. I think he could. He could play well at the next. I like his measurables.
I did not even look at him.
Yeah, okay. But
he
I'm
played
just,
for Temple.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I'm just like sleeper.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Knock yourself out. I wouldn't know. I didn't look at him.
Yeah, but so. I saw some of his film. I liked his motor. And you know me. I like guys with a motor. You know, even if they get their ass kicked on one play, that they're up and they're trying to kick ass on the next play. I like that.
Like Rudy.
Yeah, thanks.
Rudy.
Well, he's
Notre
about
Dame.
He's my height. Okay, next.
Go to cornerback. Now, good cornerback here. Everyone likes Nate Wiggins out of Clemson because he ran a 4.28 and he's 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
I like the kid out of Toledo.
Quinyon Mitchell. He's actually been linked to the Steelers, too.
He is not going to last that long.
Yeah, he won't be there at 20.
I think he's going to be the first corner off the board. Mm-hmm. Could be. I think Nate Wiggins could fall to the Steelers. And if you're 6'2 and run a 4.28, I think they can figure something out. You got to watch Terrion Arnold out of Alabama.
What about Kool-Aid? What about Kool-Aid?
He broke his foot at the combine.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean,
he's not strong. Like I don't know. Yeah. I could probably bench more than he can.
Right.
And
but in reality, I mean, you just want that.
And there's questions about his work ethic.
His work ethic.
Yep. Like he was good all his life. He didn't have to put any time in to be one of the best players on the team.
Right.
I think he's gonna scare some people off with a broken foot.
Right.
But he's going to go. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, he'll get drafted, but like where?
Now, my sleeper is a kid out of Michigan. Once again, they had that defense. Mike.
Here comes the Big Ten homer again.
Yep, Mike Sainristil. Sainristil out of Michigan.
Yep.
5'10", 185. He ran a 4.47. He had a 4.01 shuttle, 14 benches, and he had a 40-inch vertical. So athleticism is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
I like him, and then there's a white cornerback at Iowa.
Cooper DeJean. Yep.
I think he's going to go to safety in the NFL because he's fast, and he can play center field type guy.
Right.
He could also play cornerback.
Yeah.
But, again, there you're going to find some of these corners. They're all the same after that. Here's one I'll give you that you'd never think I would. I got a Rutgers guy.
Oh, my God, Rutgers?
Max,
seriously, Rutgers.
I can't help it. Max
Holy
Melton.
Holy crap.
Max Melton out of Rutgers. Ran a 4.39 40. 6 foot, 200 pounds. Say what you want, but he covered some of the best receivers in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Ohio State and those guys, and he did pretty well.
Yeah. What? Let's talk about a local. Call it Kalen King out of Penn State.
Kalen King had a very poor 40 time. I think he ran a 4.6 something.
All right.
And that's going to knock him down to boards. And the other thing that hurt him, it's a Senior Bowl. He got burnt.
Yeah.
Kalen King is, he had a real bad showing at the combine. And now I don't know what he did at his pro day. I don't even know if they had a pro day. I don't know.
Right.
His stock is falling quickly.
Precipitously.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay.
But all watch right. That kid out of Michigan that no one's talking about. Cooley McKinstry is going to fall. It's going to be Wiggins, Mitchell, and Arnold are the top three. And watch that Cooper DeJean out of Iowa.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so last but not least, we're going safety. I'm not doing punters.
You're not doing punters and place kickers?
No, we're not. Again.
You're just no fun.
What a horrible year.
You are no fun.
Safety might be also be one of the worst positions if you need one. But then again, how many people...
So let me ask you a question. I guess, are there some lower-end cornerbacks out there that might be better off moving to safety because they're better than the one?
The one I think of immediately is Cooper DeJean.
Out of Iowa, right.
I think he's going to be a safety.
Okay.
These safeties, they're staffed. I don't know how tall you want your safety to be. Mm-hmm. I want a safety that can cover but also is big enough to come up and hit the running back if he gets through the line.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cole Bishop out of Utah. He ran a 4.45, and he's 6'3", 200. So that you got to be able to get you, and he's very athletic, very, very athletic.
Right.
Everyone likes Bullard out of Georgia, 5'11", 180, that ran a 4.47.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not my first two. I'm a big dude. I got 6'3", 210. Jaden Hicks, out of Washington State.
Out of Washington State.
Love this kid. Love the kid. I don't know. He's not as fast as the other two kids, but he is unbelievably athletic.
Right.
He ran a 6.88 three cone. It might be the fastest three cone in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
38-inch vertical, put up 16 reps on the bench, and had a 10-foot, 2-inch broad jump. That's 6'3", 210. Now, I don't have his 40 written down, so it must not have been spectacular. But you're a safety. Play the angles, my man.
Right.
But, again, there's not a lot of starters here. There's a kid named Oladapo from Oregon State. 6'1", 215,
mm-hmm.
That would be my sleeper.
Can I go back to cornerbacks real quick?
No. Oh, and there's a guy named Hampton out of Washington that I like too.
You know who's getting some run? Local Pitt guy, MJ Devonshire. But here's the thing that I think about Devonshire. I look at him as a possible safety instead of a corner. Although he had a really good career at Pitt.
He's fast.
He's really fast. But he was a really good, like, outfielder type corner, you know.
You're gonna hate what I say about him.
No, go ahead. I hate everything you say about Pitt players, but go right ahead.
He does. He was good in college, but again, he played against ACC receivers.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a 4.45 and a 39-inch vertical. He's on my. He got two stars for me.
Yeah.
I don't. But again, I don't think he's better than the kid from Rutgers. I don't think he's better than Wiggins, Arnold, and Mitchell.
Okay.
That's Sanistro from Michigan. He is going to get drafted.
Yeah.
I don't think.
He's a project.
I don't even
he's
know that. He might be able to cover
NFL
receivers. I just don't know that. How many receivers did I tell you that I liked that were from the ACC?
Yeah. They're
one?
One? Yeah, it was one. Right.
It's just, I don't. I know you hate it when I say it. The ACC is not good at football.
Mm.
It's just not a good, NFL.
And the rest of the experts think the ACC isn't good at basketball either.
Well, they're wrong about that. ACC can have some good wrestling, too.
Yes, they do.
Not as good as my Penn State.
No, but you know
Dynasty.
What? Pitt did you guys a favor by walking into Columbus and beating Ohio State, so you're welcome.
Well, we didn't need their help. We beat Ohio State, too.
So, all right.
Yeah, that's it I got for the NFL.
Okay, so...
I don't know how many... Before you go on, can we tell how many people listen to the baseball...
Yes.
Yet I don't know if we can or not.
We can. We can.
Anyway,
at least through SoundCloud.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about. Let's start with the Steelers. Talk about Steelers' needs.
Got you.
Okay. So, you're Omar Khan. First three picks of the draft. Where are you? Like, what are
center,
your priorities? All right.
Defensive tackle. And wide receiver.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Their receiver room is the worst in football as we speak on this date. After Pickett, you got three guys that are all 4, 5, and 6 receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Linebacker, they came up, at least they signed Queen. Okay, that makes him the best player on their linebacking squad already. But they're in trouble if Queen gets hurt,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know how good Holcomb's going to be. He with some serious injury. I don't know if he's going to be back this year, at least not beginning of the year. But they have no – who do you think they would start at center? Herpig?
I think that'd be a mistake.
But they don't have one.
They don't have one.
I mean, their center they cut was horrible. He couldn't even get the ball in the air to the quarterback.
Yeah.
But they have zero. They don't have a center.
I agree with you. They're going to need to go center first. I mean,
and I don't know if they will, because I think when they're picking 20, I think at 52, whatever their second pick is, somewhere around.
Right.
They're going to get the kid from West Virginia.
Zach Frazier could easily be there.
And he will be because of the injury. Now, they have to. I know they've done their scouting.
Right.
And I know there's a couple injured starting centers that played in the NFL the last couple of years. They're still available.
They made an offer to that guy from Buffalo. Yes. They made him an offer.
Yeah, he wasn't high enough.
It wasn't high. So, you know, but the thing is, if they had signed him, they wouldn't be looking at center in the first round.
They wouldn't. but I'm telling you right now, if they pass on this Johns, I think that kid from Oregon's going to fall to him, and he's going to be the next Hall of Famer for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
At center.
DeBronny Dawson. He's going to be DeBronny at least as good
Dawson,
as Pouncey.
Yeah, you got Mike Webster. Is Pouncey a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so, but he's going to. He was good.
He's really good.
He's going to be every bit as good as Pouncey.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then they definitely need receivers. What a horrible receiving room they got.
Yeah, that's horrible. Why I was asking you about.
They
that
don't have
kid
a two or three.
Right.
But they'll get one. There's plenty in the draft.
I mean, this is a pretty good receiver draft.
I think
the Steelers do a good job at getting receivers in later rounds.
Anytime.
Right.
But I think they do need a tackle. I don't think their left tackle. They love them.
No,
Pittsburgh loves them. The coaching staff.
Dan Moore Jr.
Yep. They love him. I think he's bad. I don't think he's bad. I said he's below average, I would say.
Well, but that's the thing. I would love for them to be able to get a tackle, a true right tackle, and move.
Or draft a left tackle and let him there.
Back to the left side.
If you get one of those legit left tackles with your first pick, that offensive line is going to be.
This is why I have always, and you know this, I have always been a believer about building your
Absolutely.
Offense. You build your offensive line.
Both lines.
Because you can have some positions where you got dog shit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like
safety.
Jalen Warren, their backup
should be starting.
Their backup. But here's the deal, he was an undrafted free agent out of Oregon State.
Yeah.
Okay. You get some, and then with the Steelers, finally, after they got rid of Canada, told Darnell Washington, look, bro, you're an extra tackle.
And
that's what you are, okay?
Are you okay with that?
Yeah, and he's fine with it.
He
loves blocking.
He does.
So they would run to his side, and they were one of the best running football teams in football the last 4 weeks of the season.
More than that, probably the second half of the season.
Yeah.
But the other thing they did is they went away from the Canada's run pass offense. Obviously.
Yeah,
What's the name of that option where it's a
RPO?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run pass option.
Right.
They just went to straight, block the freaking guy ahead of you.
Yeah.
And when they
and
started,
get up to the second level.
And when they did that.
Right.
And then when they put in this rookie right tackle.
Yeah. When they put in Broderick Jones.
When Broderick Jones got put in, he was knocking people
and
on
he's,
their ass.
And he's out of position.
Possibly,
and he's knocking people out on their
he
ass.
He played a little right tackle at Ohio State before
left. At Georgia.
Georgia, before he got moved.
Right.
But, I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at if the guy says, see that guy in the other jersey over there?
Just
knock
mauling,
him on his ass.
Mauling, yeah.
And he was mowing people down. That's
right.
Why I'm going to say if they would draft the left tackle, you could keep
but
him
he
there.
Got really, really bad pro football focus grades.
On pass protection.
Yeah.
Not run.
Yeah, but on pass protection. So, but that's where I'm concerned about him. He's more comfortable in pass pro at left tackle.
Well, and again, he's going up against Cleveland's, and he's going up
against Miles Garrett.
Baltimore.
Right.
All have good pass rushes, right? So
yeah.
He probably did get a lower grade.
Yeah, because you know what? People like Myles Garrett get the I scared the shit out of the quarterback grades a lot better than T.J. Watt. And a lot better.
And that Pro Football Focus voted him the best. They voted him better than T.J. Watt.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Not yet. He's on track.
Do you know there are some people that are already voting him into the Hall of Fame?
No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but here's so I'm going to go off track a little bit here. The NFL, eat a dick, Roger Goodell, your boy.
Hall of Famer, okay, first entry.
Right. They bent over backwards to rehabilitate Ray Lewis, who in my mind...
He's a murderer.
He's at least an accessory to murder.
Oh, he's a murderer. There are witnesses that saw him do it.
So
that didn't testify.
So they rehabilitate this guy, okay? And they did the same thing, and it's not murder, so don't get me wrong, but they went into full rehabilitation mode for Myles Garrett after the whole Mason Rudolph thing.
Well, not only that, but what pissed me off about that is Myles Garrett pulled the race card.
Thank you. And you, I'll tell you something else about that whole incident. Mike Tomlin does not make it a habit to go up to the microphone and defend one of his players when there's like a scrap. He went out of his way to defend Mason Rudolph because his offensive lineman went up to him after that game and said, Rudolph didn't say shit.
And that was, and so did some of the Browns players said, and they're black players.
And he didn't
he said,
say it.
Trust me, if he'd have said that, there'd have been more than one guy.
There'd have been more than one guy.
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, Myles Garrett got away with it.
Well, yeah, that was his defense.
Yeah, was his defense for what he did.
If you're black, race is your get-out-of-jail-free card.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. Mm. They can use it.
Yep. I am so...
He just had too many people that say he didn't. Unbelievably talented.
He's incredibly talented, but I'm sorry. When you pull out the race card with that is the reason why I took a guy's...
about the race card.
Well, and I took a guy's helmet off, and I swung it at him and smacked him in the head with it. And, I mean, we can go on to a longer story I think we talked about this, where the Steelers really did Mason Rudolph wrong. I feel they really did him dirty. And there's some people to a lesser extent that they feel that the Steelers didn't do right by Kenny Pickett. We can argue that, you know, nine ways to Sunday. But the thing is, with me, I feel I'm happy for Mason Rudolph because he stepped into the last few games of the season in a playoff game. He basically, the Steelers rode him into the playoffs.
Not only that, and that's all true.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at, when you watch the Steelers the last four games of the year, they had an NFL offense. At no other time
did they have
a good offense.
And I will say,
Kenny Pickett, when he threw for 250 yards or 300 yards in a game,
they only put up
16 points.
Yeah, against the Bengals.
Whatever.
And it was the only time all year where he was allowed to throw down the middle of the field to Freiermuth. You look at the stat, like...
They still put up 16 points.
Right, because they sucked in the red zone. But here's
Rudolph didn't suck in the red zone.
No, but here's something else. In the red zone that game, because if you remember, the next game he was injured after the first quarter against the Cardinals.
Running it.
Yeah, the in the red zone... Who dropped a sure touchdown right in his hands and on the next play there was a fumble and he didn't chase the guy down?
Johnson.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I get it.
Yeah.
Bottom line, he scored 16 points a game.
Understood.
He scored more than that with Rudolph in the same offense.
Okay. Yeah, another full game.
The rest of the year.
Wait a minute. So the Cardinals game, he's hurt right after the first quarter. Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now, he was not hurt the last three games that Rudolph played.
I understand.
And the reason he didn't play was Rudolph looked like an NFL quarterback. Kenny Pickett has never looked like an NFL quarterback.
Who came in off the bench in the Cardinals game?
For the Cardinals? Our boy.
Yeah, Mitchell Trubisky. Okay, but then who did they put in? They put in Mason Rudolph, and he rode him into the playoffs.
But he looked like, my point is, they looked like an NFL team.
Better arm.
Maybe not. I don't think Kenny has a bad arm, but I'm just telling you, I watched Kenny play. Yeah. I watched Rudolph play. Rudolph looked like an NFL quarterback. Kenny did not.
And Rudolph had been in the NFL for how much longer than Pickett?
Don't care. Same offense.
I understood. But here's something I'll say about Rudolph.
And Pickett got every snap in preseason and training camp. And Rudolph was better than both of them in training camp, and he was relegated to third string.
One of the best, and I'm saying this honestly, one of the best throws I've seen in an NFL regular season game
was Rudolph
against Seattle to George Pickens.
You couldn't have placed it that well in a video game.
On a play where Pickett would have spun and rolled out 3 seconds before, Mason Rudolph stood in there with four guys in his face and threw a dart.
And I think you just hit it right in the head. The big difference between those two quarterbacks is Rudolph stayed in the pocket.
Stayed in the pocket.
And he let the play develop. So maybe the receivers got an extra step and they were open a little more.
Right.
Kenny would have made those throws if he stayed in the pocket.
If he stayed in the pocket or if he stepped up in the pocket.
And he didn't either.
No, he didn't do either.
And that means you're not a pro quarterback. Pro quarterbacks take one in the mouth.
Right.
Right after they throw a dart.
You get smacked.
And Kenny spun out.
He didn't do it.
And he doesn't do what NFL quarterbacks do.
I wish both of those guys the best of luck, especially Mason Rudolph in Tennessee. I wish him the best.
I think I told you, if Mason Rudolph would have re-signed with Pittsburgh after they signed Russell Wilson and traded.
And traded Pickett.
No, after they traded for the
for Justin Fields.
Fields, and they signed him, and they're saying, well, we want you back as our third quarterback. I would have told them, you know what I'd have told them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so glad he said no.
Well, I mean, let's look at his situation in Tennessee. Is Levis all that?
No, he's got a chance to beat Levis.
Yeah, does he? And he certainly, I mean.
But I'm going to tell you what, I would have moved anywhere. I'd have went behind to Buffalo. And play behind Josh Allen. For a million less than I'd ever come back to Pittsburgh. Every Pittsburgh radio personality that covers or TV that covers the Pittsburgh Steelers said the best quarterback in the whole training camp in Latrobe, PA, from day one until they broke camp, was him.
Was Mason Rudolph.
By far.
But you know what they said about that? They said that 2 years ago when Mitch Trubisky was picked up.
Trubisky's garbage. Yeah, I told you that when they signed him.
Yeah, and they said.
And everyone in Pittsburgh threw a party. They did everything but have a parade.
And they said that at that training camp that Mason Rudolph was the best quarterback in training camp.
Yep.
But it's a political game.
Well, you got to play your first round
pick.
He wasn't a first round pick, but you got to play him.
All right. We got anything else?
No, I'm pissed off. I just realized that my Cowboys have no offensive line.
Let's real quick.
They have no center, so they need
your Cowboys' first three pick positions have got to be what?
Center.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive tackle.
Okay.
And I'm going to go linebacker, even though they signed some 300-year-old guy from San Diego, 300-year-old white guy. The only free agent move they made other than a long snapper.
Boy, they were really active in free agency.
Right? After Jerry Jones says, we're all in. We're so close, we're all in. So, listen, you know my stage four list? I got a lot of people on stage four list. Mm-hmm. The Joneses are on there. Yeah. And that's good. And for what you people don't know what that is, when I'm diagnosed with stage four something, there's going to be some chaos going around.
So, wait a minute. Did we ever get
I'm afraid Pelosi's going to die before I get to her.
Did we ever get the DNA tests on Jerry Jones's illegitimate kid?
Well, they might have, but he won't admit it.
We didn't hear the results yet.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's the least of my worries. I don't care. I mean, the guy's worth $1 billion. I'm sure he porked a secretary or two coming up.
You think?
And his wife's hot.
Yeah, but there was some, like, porn scenes, bow-chicha-bow-wow.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what the hell goes on behind closed doors. But
buying a football team
and giving your kid the GM job, that'd be like me buying a tampon factory. And I'm going in there, and I'm going to make all these changes to tampons. What the hell do I know about tampons? Well, as much as the Joneses know about football, obviously. I hate being a Cowboy fan. Hate it.
Then come over to the dark side and become a Steeler
fan.
No,
I can't. I'm not a changer. My first I was 9 years old, 1975.
You are an enigma, like, because you're a Philadelphia Phillies fan,
yep,
and a Dallas Cowboy. That just, yep, doesn't fit.
First game I ever saw, 9 years old, my best friend, Scott Shoemaker, I hope you're listening, buddy, in Lock Haven, PA. They're all Eagles fans. The Eagles come on. My stepfather took me down there after Little League practice. We were down there, whatever the hell you're doing, throwing baseball, hitting, mm-hmm, baseball. Went to Scott's dad's house, and it was the Eagles and Cowboys. And the Cowboys had Roger Staubach,
mm-hmm,
Drew Pearson, Preston Pearson, Randy
Dorsett.
White.
They didn't have Tony Dorsett yet?
No, not yet.
Not yet, okay. So that means the Steelers,
Randy,
beat them in
White,
Super Bowl X. All right.
Whatever it was, right, I can tell you that the guys with a star in the helmet kicked the living shit out of the Eagles that day.
Of course they did.
Right?
And of course they did.
And I'm like,
of course
why
they
do you guys
did.
Like the team that sucks? I'll take the guy, and I like the star.
You're like,
I loved Roger Staubach.
You're like my aunt and uncle when I was a kid. Everybody in our family was Steeler fans, but they had to be different. So they rooted for the Miami Dolphins because they liked Bob Greasy.
There you go.
You know, so they rooted for Greasy.
Even, I turned my dad into
even,
a Cowboy fan.
Even when the Steelers were like kicking the shit out of them.
Doesn't matter.
You know.
That's, I saw my first game was Dallas Philly, and Dallas kicked the living shit out of them.
Of course, because you're Ed Too
Tall Jones.
You're a
Cliff Harris.
You're a bandwagon jumper.
I am not.
That's what it is.
I am not. That was my first game. I liked them. Other than that, it was where we lived. I was 3 hours away from New York, Yankees and,
yeah,
Mets,
Yankees,
Baltimore,
and Mets. Mm-hmm.
Philly and Pittsburgh. So, mm-hmm, I got blackout dates for every team.
Oh,
I could. We didn't have an MLB.
Yeah, but you,
package.
But for football, you always had John Madden and Pat Summerall doing the Cowboys game at 4 o'clock.
Did
always.
Yep, it was always on.
Yeah,
especially against Redskins, Giants,
Redskins,
division
and
game.
Oh yeah, it
Eagles
was always
game.
Division game.
But
yeah.
I couldn't get a baseball game
to save
on,
your life.
I got no one. Yeah. Orioles, Mets, Yankees. Pirates, Phillies,
yeah,
right where I was. So I actually moved when I was older,
mm-hmm,
in a town called Montoursville, PA,
yep,
which is 35 minutes away from Lock Haven.
Right.
Got the Philadelphia Sports Channel.
Yeah.
I moved to Montoursville so I could get the Phillies,
yeah,
Sixers,
yeah,
Flyers and,
yeah,
stuff games.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actually moved to go see them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Ladies and gentlemen. We're going to wrap this one up.
Thank
another
God.
Another really great NFL draft special.
Where's that ball?
We're going to be looking to see.
I'm going to give these guys a prop. Before you give us a word from our other sponsor,
yeah,
before we touch off, I'm going to give you a note. These guys are not a sponsor.
But
they're not paid
shout
us
out,
shit.
Shout out.
But I was told about this by a buddy of mine, and if you like whiskey, Irish whiskey, I just bought a bottle of Slane, S-L-A-N-E, Irish whiskey, and we have been drinking it during the podcast, and it's fantastic. So if you get a chance, not expensive, get Slane Irish whiskey. So
right.
Tell them about our sponsor.
We are sponsored by Bird on the Run Southside, 1733 East Carson Street in the Southside. Best chicken in the Berg. Chicken sandwiches, chicken nuggets, chicken strips. Fish sandwiches, waffle fries, coleslaw, and beignets. You pick your spice level. You can find us on the website, birdontherun.com. You can order directly through Chow Now. You can also get delivery through Chow Now, but we are also available on Uber Eats, Grubhub, and DoorDash. Ladies and gentlemen, you can catch the podcast anywhere you listen to your podcasts, on iTunes Podcasts. You can also hear us on Spotify. You can also hear us on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, wherever you hear your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, you can also send us a message at basementsportspodcast@gmail.com. That's basementsportspodcast@gmail.com. This was a great show. What are we going to talk about next week? What do you want to talk about next week?
Who knows?
We are really, really working hard. You know what I think
Penguins
we can pull off?
Suck.
Well,
Pirates,
but they just walked into Madison Square Garden and beat the Rangers, so who knows?
They also lost to Columbus after leading 4-0.
Okay, so
and then lost to them in overtime the next game.
4-1. No, they beat Columbus in Pittsburgh. And then
they lost 5-4.
But they lost in a shootout, so they got a point.
But it was 4-0.
No, it wasn't 4-0.
It was at one
it
point. Pittsburgh
4-0.
Was winning 4-0.
Are we gonna talk about the Pirates a little bit? They're 5-0.
Well, as soon as they play other than two AAA teams, yes.
Okay. So, but something else that we
Baltimore
need, something
we'll
else,
see.
Yeah, but something else that I want to let you guys know, we're working to do our podcast on the first night of the NFL draft from a remote location. which would be a lot of fun as we go through each draft pick. That'll be a long podcast, folks. That'll be a 2 to 3 hour podcast.
If not four.
But we're going to go through every pick all the way down.
We're
going to
predict
the Steelers,
and picks. And we're
predicting
gonna have,
picks.
We're going to have people at where we're at. Where we got a place in mind with members.
Yep.
And we're going to have them come over and give us their opinions. They'll be drunk. Should be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Probably two of them will have no pants on.
There'll be free popcorn. So.
Yeah, we'll be eating popcorn.
Yep.
I'll try not to shit myself this year. No guarantees.
Yep, we'll work on it. Well, my kid is screaming at me to go out to eat, so that means I got to sign off.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Yep.